Welcome back to the National Defense. It's Randy Miller. Man, we love talking to Tom Papa, stand-up comedian and now author. The guy can do it all. He's so funny. Just big fans of Tom Papa, and he joins us here again on the National Defense. Tom, how are you?
I'm doing well. Nice to talk to you again.
Hey, nice to talk to you, Tommy Salami. Listen, I've just started your book. Got a brand new book called "We're All in This Together," and man, it is from what I've read so far, it is a funny book, and it's also have you written any other books, Tom?
Yeah, this is my third book now.
Oh wow! So you're pretty good at finding your voice and making it just like your comedy, right? I mean, that's a tough thing, and I don't think people understand that sometimes, that if you do one thing well, like your stand-up, to translate that into a written form can be really tough and make it still sound like yourself.
Yeah, I think it's probably easier for a comedian. Well, I don't know if it's easier, but definitely over the years of having a style and the way you tell your jokes and being able to like relate that to people and be as natural as you can, that takes years. So when I started doing the books, it was just kind of an extension of the stand-up in a way. You know, I am always a writer when I'm doing the stand-up.
Sure.
I didn't think that when I was a young comic. I was just trying to survive up there and not get heckled. But you do kind of find your rhythm, and then it just kind of transfers over to the books that way. It is kind of similar. And it's interesting because then people say that even when the parts are a little more serious, that it's still in that same voice. But it's kind of a weird thing. Like you know, you have your style when you host, you know, when you're talking, you're not aware of it. You're just being you as
right.
much as you can. But to other people, they're like, oh, that's the way that you deliver. That's your style. But I think the whole key to any art is really just being yourself as much as possible under a weird circumstance.
Right. Yeah, I think you're right, Tom. And you know, it's funny. I think stand-up comics do this better than anybody else, and it's to make people feel normal, because there are some things that you do that everybody does that you think, does anybody else do this? And this book, you get a lot of examples of that. And one of those examples that I thought was pretty funny is something I do. When you see somebody that you know on the street, you turn around and you almost run the other way. And you say, it could be somebody that you've loved.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, you do it to other people. And I feel bad. Like, if I'll see somebody, like, at the farmer's market or wherever, and you're like, or the mall, and you're like, oh, geez, not now.
Right.
And you walk away.
Right.
Or you hide. And this could be someone you really care about. And I felt bad about it for a long time. Like, what's wrong with me? But then you realize, they're doing it to you.
Right.
I guarantee you.
Yeah.
The people you think who can't live without you are hiding in the aisle at the CVS and going the other way because they just, it's no offense, they just can't deal with you right now.
Well, and now, hey, I understand at the CVS because I don't want you to see what kind of cream I'm buying. You know, that's perfect.
Yeah, but even that, like, all right, so you're embarrassed because you're buying this weird cream for this weird thing on your butt. But guess what? Everyone's in there because they got something weird going on.
That's right.
you're not the first guy with a weird thing on his butt.
We're talking to Tom Papa here at the National Defense, his new book, We're All in This Together. And something else, and it just made me think of this. I recently reconnected with a buddy of mine that we have been friends for 30 years. We've been friends for 30 years. We've lived in the same town, and we just hardly ever see each other. So he invited me to play in this golf league with him every Thursday. And I was so excited about it, and it starts out, and I don't want to play with him every Thursday now. And I've got to talk to him about that today because I just found out, you know, most golf leagues, in my experience, have been nine holes and they run about 6 to 8 weeks. This is 18 holes every right. Thursday, and I just found out it lasts 16 weeks.
Oh my God! Yeah, that sounds like a nightmare.
Yeah, but I'm going to have that conversation with him today, and it feels like I'm breaking up.
I know. Well, you made a mistake by saying yes.
No question. I should have asked many more questions. I was just so excited, I got myself into it.
Yeah. That's the problem. You get excited, and you're like, it'll be great, especially if you have a beer together, and you're like right. excited, and, all right, let's do it. And then, no, you can't say yes. But I have a friend that's bowling, and he was coming at me. We were having lunch. He's like, I'm bowling 2 days a week, and it's right down the street from you. And I could tell he wants me to do it with him. And I was like, don't do it. Don't even go once. Don't even. Right. I just told him flat out, I hate bowling. It was quick. It was painful.
See, that's a way to do
it. I'm no longer in trouble.
That's a way to do it. Yeah. And that's why I think that a lot of us have wives, because my wife can tell anybody no and have no reason. Have no reason. Just say.
She's smart.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
to give people reasons.
No. If she had been presented with that, she would have said, nope. And that would have been the end of it.
I have a friend that taught me that a while ago. Anytime someone presents something, we always think you got to have a story. You got to come up. No. Somebody asks you, hey, do you want to be in my golf league? You just put a smile on your face and you say, no, thank you. And because there's a thank you in there, it right. sounds nice. It sounds like you're actually
That's
being
true.
Nice to them.
That's true.
Smile whenever you're in a jam. Just smile and no, thank you.
No, I'm good. Okay. All right. I mean, this is a life lesson for me. We're talking to Tom Papa here in the National Defense. His book, We're All in This Together. And the chapter about navigating the wine list, this is something that's very close to my heart. And I was giggling all the way through that chapter because this is something that happened to you, I guess, in Las Vegas, right?
Oh, yeah, Las Vegas. Which, if I can shamelessly plug, I'm going to be returning to Vegas on Labor Day weekend. At the Wynn, if people want to come check me out there. It's going to be an awesome show.
September 2nd?
September 2nd, Labor Day weekend. And my wife and I was doing like a corporate event, and we were there like on a Monday night. And there was nobody else around, and we were like, well, let's go to this fancy restaurant. And the wine was all super expensive because they have... When you order a bottle of wine, they take this poor waiter and put him on a wire and shoot him up this tower of wine to retrieve your bottle. It's like three stories high.
I've seen that.
This guy up like Pink in concert.
Right.
and they bring this bottle down. They make a big thing out of it, and they charge you $300 for it. It's still a $20 bottle of wine.
Right, right. Well,
when the show's over, you're still stuck with this lame wine.
Right, right, right. Here's your what was the big cheap? What's another name for a threesome?
Wasabi.
It's all
thruple.
So, yeah, that's another thing. I go on this golf trip every year. Another thing I can't say no to. And this buddy of mine just comes to me one day and says, we're riding in the cart together. He goes, I've never been in a threesome. Have you? And I'm what?
Yeah. Now, you know, when someone says that to you, you look at them and you smile and you say, no, thanks. I'm telling you, it's like a magic phrase.
I should have
thought about it in Harry Potter.
The one thing that I think about wine and it's absolutely true. It depends on where you are and when it is and what you're doing about how that wine will taste. I can have wine somewhere at an event and then have that same wine later and it's horrible. And does that happen to you?
Yeah, 100%. That's why they always have all these big descriptions about it and stuff. If somebody gives me a good story with a bottle of wine.
Yes.
And they tell me that this famous author drank it and it was his favorite wine. And they if you tell me the story and then I get to drink it, I'm all in.
Right.
You know, we're definitely heavily influenced. And that's why it's really, you're really smart to like watch your pennies on it, because you could just lie to me. Give me a $20 bottle of wine. Right. It was Hemingway's favorite.
Yeah, give me an expensive story and a cheap bottle of wine. That's good.
I was
having a glass of wine on a patio at a restaurant last year, and the wind was up, and all of a sudden the waitress comes over, and I have my wine glass out, and I'm wearing a white shirt, and the wine, the wind hits it, and the wine goes all over me, and the waitress just goes, "Oh wow, how about that wind?" And I'm like, "Wow, yeah, it's good, right." Oh man.
Yeah. I'm surprised she didn't tell you. Oh, good for you. That's good luck.
Yeah, good catch.
I love when people take horrible things. Yeah, right. A bird just crashed on your head. Well, good for you.
I can't wait to read the rest of this. We're all in this together from Tom Papa. Tom, it's always great to talk to you, man. You're hilarious. Thank you so much for the time.
Thank you. Always good to catch up with you.
No thank you. We'll be right back here on the National Defense.